Praise God. Glory to God. Well, I want to read you a couple things. It says a teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. Perspective of a little kid. A little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. His mother was in the front row to prompt him. She gestured and formed the words silently with her lips, but it didn't help. Her son's memory was blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, I am the light of the world. The child beamed and with great feeling in a loud, clear voice said, my mother is the light of the world. Hallelujah. This one isn't funny. It's more a little bit different. But over 100 years ago, G.K. Chesterton wrote this concerning the role of a mother. The natural operations surrounded her with very young children who required to be taught not so much anything but everything. Babies need not to be taught a trade, but to be introduced to a world. To put the matter shortly, a woman is generally shut up in a house with a human being at the time when he asks all the questions that there are and some that there aren't. Our race has thought it worthwhile to cast this burden on women in order to keep common sense in the world, but when people begin to talk about this domestic duty as not merely difficult, but trivial and dreary, I simply give up the question. For I cannot, with the utmost energy of imagination, conceive what they mean. If drudgery only means dreadfully hard work, I admit the woman drudges in the home, as a man might drudge at his work. But if it means that the hard work is more heavy because it is trifling, colorless, and of small import to the soul, then I say give it up. How can it be an important career to tell other people's children about mathematics and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? A woman's function is laborious, not because it is minute, but because it is gigantic. I will pity Mrs. Jones for the hugeness of her task. I will never pity her for its smallness. It is just a marvelous task that women have as mothers to raise a child. Essentially, they are involved in teaching that child about God. And that is the most important job anybody can do. You think about it. We are created by an Almighty, by a God. And mothers have a very large part in introducing and shaping that child's view of God. Is there anything more important than our relationship with our God? There isn't. So there is nothing small at all about the role of a mother. Because a mother, you know, by and large, I mean, there's things that are different situations that are different today. But by and large, it's the mother that is with the child during the most formative years the most of the time. You know, the father's obviously an influence. We're not talking about fathers today. We're not diminishing the role of fathers. They both have their role. But, you know, like we read in this quote, to say that somehow something else is more important, that raising children somehow is not quite as important as some other job the world could give, how can that possibly be true when you're forming a child? I mean, when we get down to the nuts and bolts, we have human beings on this earth. Yes, we share it with other animals and nature. But everything, any other job, is somehow influencing the rest of humanity, somehow. If you're working for a company, it's to sell products or to make products for humanity in general. Or, you know, maybe it's something to do with the earth or animals in some way, but it's related to humanity somehow. So to say that some other occupation is out here and more important because it maybe affects more of humanity than shaping and molding a few children. I mean, it's all the same thing. And somebody has, we all have more influence over certain individuals in our life than we do over others. We know some people very close. That's our family, typically, and our friends and people that are close to us. But it's so easy to diminish that in our minds, and especially in today's society. Let's go over to 1 Peter 3. We'll start there. First Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if they do not, or if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Notice verse 3. He's just talking to wives, which first step to becoming mothers, generally, in God's perfect will. Verse 3, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Now, you have your scripture sheet there. I have that in a couple of other translations. The Living Bible says, "Be beautiful inside in your hearts with the lasting charm of a gentle and quiet spirit that is so precious to God." In the New Living Translation, it says, "You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God." Now let's turn over to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10. This whole section, this whole chapter, Proverbs, is about the virtuous woman, this model woman. Notice verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." And we can read a lot of these verses, but let's skip down to verse 28. It says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Notice that. Verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing," meaning external beauty, "but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now go back over to your sheet and look back at the verse we just read back in 1 Peter. Verse 3, back up in the New King James, says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward." See, it's saying the same thing. Now that we're saying women aren't beautiful in their own right, but that's not the lasting thing. That's not what pleases God or is precious in His sight. He said, don't let your adornment be merely outward. That means there's nothing wrong with making yourself look nice and look pretty. He said, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. You know, some people have said, well, we're not supposed, you know, women, they're not supposed to, they use this to say women aren't supposed to wear things like jewelry and makeup and stuff like that. They use this verse to do that. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but if that's true, it's in the same part. It says arranging the hair, wearing gold. It also says putting on apparel, fine apparel. You know what apparel is? That's clothes. So if we're not supposed to wear makeup and stuff, we're also not supposed to, you know, women aren't supposed to wear clothes. I don't think that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. We got to take the Word of God in context, amen? And what's it saying? No, he's not saying go around and don't have any makeup and don't be stylish or anything. That's not what he's saying. He says don't do only that. Because that's not the only thing, and there's much more. And that's not the part that necessarily pleases God. It says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, our spirit, the person we can't see, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Very precious is a gentle and quiet spirit. What kind of spirit is that? It's one that, like Proverbs 31 says, is that fears God and puts Him first. Look back at your sheet for Proverbs 31. In verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. It said, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. A woman that fears the Lord and puts godly things above all, she shall be praised. It's the spirit and our attitude towards the Lord that pleases Him and that is most important in His sight. And when we talk about a mother, what is the most, we alluded to it earlier, but the most important thing a mother is to take care of her children and teach them about the Lord. That's the most important thing she can do. It's not even about how clean the house is, how good the meals are, how sharp the dress. It is about teaching the next generation to fear Almighty God. That is the most important thing. There is nothing in this earth more important than our relationship with God. Nothing. Can you think of one thing? Your house more important? Your car? Your job? You say, well, my family. If your family doesn't serve Almighty God, they're lost forever. That is the most important thing. We can only have a true relationship with our family if we know Him. He wants us to be in His presence, in a relationship with Him. That is the most important thing. That's the only way that we can truly enjoy our family. And so that's where I want to focus on the rest of our time here, is just reading some scriptures that allude to that. Because the world has made it so much different. You know, moms, you have to do this. You have to do this. And you ought to do this for your kids, and you ought to do this for your kids. And when was the last time you saw a commercial that was encouraging a mother to train their children to love God? You're made to feel guilty that you're not doing this, that you're not doing that. You should be more in here. You should be taking your kids here. You should be buying them this. And if you don't buy them this, you're not a good mom. And surely any mom that really loved their kid would let them have this and bring them to this amusement park, not knocking any of the things that are being sold. But it's, when was the last time you saw that it was being pushed that your most important job is that they know God, to teach them about the Lord? Isn't it true? We're all made to, we get messages pushed at us. We're being sold things. In not only just commercials, but ads you see everywhere, whether on the internet, you see in television shows, you see in movies, books, magazines. It's all showing us a picture of what somebody wants us to believe things are, because if we subscribe to it, it's trying to drive our behavior in a certain direction most of the time to separate with our money in a certain direction. And so there's things that'll pull on your emotions on TV, trying to make you feel like you ought to be doing this for your children. And if you're not doing this, you're really not all the mom you should be. But the most important thing, all that's secondary to, do we teach them about the Lord? Do we bring them up in the training and admonition of God? That's the most important thing. Let's turn over to Proverbs 22. I just want to encourage you moms, focus in on this and be encouraged that no matter what the world is telling you, if you'll focus in, if you're doing this, you're a good mom. In the eyes of the Lord, you're precious. Grandmas, same thing. If you're encouraging your family to go after God, there is nothing higher than that. Other things can be secondary. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that in the Bible? That's a promise of God. It said he won't depart from it. He'll come back. He may blip a little bit, but he'll come back to where his training, his or her training is. Hallelujah. You know, have you ever, you've been in something, whether it's sports or, you know, I've never been in the military, but I've heard, you know, people talk about that. But, you know, so I have been in sports, so I can use that more readily. But, you know, you train your body to do certain things. And usually, you do it without pressure. Now, I played soccer. I played baseball, too, for quite a few years and just got burnt out on it and then played soccer for many years. But, you know, there's drills you do, you learn. And I remember one gentleman had this videotape series that I checked out, or I think maybe we bought some of them. I'd watch them. This guy's over in Europe, and he'd have these training sessions, and he'd have all these kids. He's showing them these different moves. You know, this double step over. You got the ball and you go that way and then go that way and then you go this way. You're trying to fake out the guy and go that way. Well, you don't do that the first time with full pressure on you. You know, kids say, well, I can do it now. Well, no, you can't do it just because you can do it real quick. When you're in the middle of a game, it's different conditions. So what do? You do it really slow while there's no pressure. Can you do that? With nobody on, and you're doing it super slow. And then you do it a little faster. And then a little faster. And then you put somebody in front of you, not even pressuring you. You could put a chair there. Probably wouldn't do that outside. Let's say you put a cone there. You know, and you're going to do that. That represents the person. Can you still do it? And then you're going to up it to where you have one of your teammates just walking towards you, and can you do it with that? Then they're going to actually try to get the ball from you. Can you do it under that kind of pressure? And then, can you do it in a game situation? See, if you can't do all that, it's going to be tough to do it in a game situation. Well, that's kind of like training up a child. They don't hit everything, you know, when they're 6 months, that they're going to hit when they're 20. And they shouldn't. I don't even know what's going on at 6 months. They know you, and they can smile, and they can maybe sit up and a few things. But no, over time, if we'll train them, things get ingrained in them little by little, what they're supposed to do. That just happens in daily life. It's not real glamorous sometimes. It's just living. Just going about the daily routine. Getting them up. Getting their teeth brushed. Getting their clothes on. Getting them off to school. Bringing them home. Getting their homework done. Get them to practice if they have to do that. Getting them fed. Getting them ready for bed. Spending some time with the family. Getting them ready for bed. Getting them in bed. Tucking them in. Reading the Bible to them. Teaching them how to do devotions. Teaching them how to look to God. Pray. Put them to bed. Repeat. That doesn't seem real glamorous, but what's happening? Every repetition. Every repetition. Every repetition. It's training. It's getting it built into them and built into them again and built into them again and built into them again and again and again and again until they go out. And now the real pressures of life start. And what's going to happen? What are they going to go to? The Bible says if we'll train them up in the way that they should go, they're going to snap to that training. I mean, they're going to do it perfect, but that's in them. No more than if you were playing sports that you're going to do it perfect every time, but it's a compass. It's something that's built into them. The Spirit of Almighty God is watching over them to make that come to pass. God Almighty is watching over our children. When you're training your children or looking over your grandchildren and looking to them to serve God and to put a godly influence in them, you are being a steward for God Almighty, because they're His children just like we're His children. And God watched over us. Not all of us had perfect parents. And here we are. And we know God. Most important thing. Okay, now we have these children for a little bit of time. A lease on them. We're a steward for Almighty God for a little bit. And then they're going to go on. And what's the most important thing when they leave us that they need to know is that God exists, He's real, and He's their Father. If they'll look to Him, that's what they need, because we're not going to be there forever. Mothers, you know you're not going to be there forever in their life. But God is. God is. There is nothing higher than this. This is the most important thing that we can give to somebody is to point them to God. Now, we have more influence in some people than we do others. Some people will pass on the street, never see them again. But these precious people we have in our home, these children, we can affect them for eternity. Because as we affect them, they can go out and affect the world for God. And then their children can affect the world for God. And then their children. And it works both ways. There's people that have gone and trained them up in a different way. And that's affected the whole family tree for many, many years, decades, centuries. Because of training, because of pointing them in a certain direction. Let's turn over to Genesis 18, 19. Thank God. God, this is so precious to the Lord. He repeats it over and over. Genesis 18, 19. Genesis 18:19. The Lord's, verse 17, the Lord's talking about Abraham here. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, but, you know, that's the context. But he's saying, shall I hide what I'm about to do from Abraham, who's my friend? But he says, verse 17 says, and the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great nation, great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and keep his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. To teach and train children, it's so important to him. He says that he may command his children and keep his household after him. Let's turn down to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. It says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord, your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. This is a big thing with God, that we teach our children and our grandchildren about him and give them a relationship. We can't give the relationship to them, but we can point them to the Lord and reinforce that. When they come and talk to us about certain things, point them right back to the Lord. Point them right back to the Lord, to that relationship. Let's go over to Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. You know, we're talking to mothers specifically today, but this just goes really for all of us, no matter if we have children of our own or not, that we can put into children to point them to God. To be a witness to him and to his goodness. 2 Timothy 3:14. It says, you must continue, this is Paul talking to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Is it possible to know the Scriptures from childhood? Yes, it is. To get a hold of Scriptures, even, you know, at just a few years of age, there's Scriptures we can put in words that, simple words, easy translations for little kids, just toddlers to get a hold of and to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is their strength. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Just things like this. So Timothy knew the Scriptures from a child. Go back over to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Verse 3. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. That faith, and we talk about giving an inheritance of houses and lands and money, and the Bible talks about that. That a good man gives those things to his children, not negating that. But the most important inheritance is our spiritual inheritance, what we pass down to them spiritually. There is nothing more important. There is nothing more important. I know I'm saying that over and over, but it is so contrary to our culture today. Everything else is more important. Our relationship with God is second to a lot of things in the culture, in what we're being presented. When you watch, let me ask you, when's the last time you watched a movie where they went to church? I mean, there's a lot of Christian movies that are coming out where, yeah, they do. But generally speaking, any kind of blockbuster or thing in mainline, you don't see where there's something modeled that this is what you ought to do in life. That they were praying or reading the Bible or anything. It's just not shown. That they live life and have quote-unquote successful lives without it. It's so we're told. You don't see that anywhere. That look at them. They're just great and they're happily married and they have great kids and no God in sight. It's a lie. I'm not saying you can't have a degree of happiness in a home, yes, but not fullness of joy unless we know Jesus. But you don't see that. It's like, no, it's possible to do all this and you don't have to have God. Well, that's nice if you have God. That's if that's good for you, but that's not good for all of us. Not true again. Right? There's only one way to the Father. That's Jesus. There is nothing more important than this. Let's turn over to 3 John 2. Right before Revelation. You got Jude right before Revelation, then 3 John. And Third John 2. Thank God. 3 John 2. Verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, he's talking about spiritual children, but can you think, there is no greater joy than to hear that your children, natural children, walk in the truth. There is nothing higher than that. There is nothing greater than that. There is nothing more important to go out and do in the world. Well, I helped this company that they had record profits for 8 quarters in a row. Does not compare to my children walk in truth. Not knocking the other, but it can't be in place. It can't be in place of your children walking in the truth. No, this is what we're celebrating today, motherhood and fatherhood, you know, later in June, but what we celebrate as raising kids, and mothers have such a large part to play with that. There is nothing more important than training those children. It is noble, it is honorable, it is precious in the sight of Almighty God. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I don't know if I helped you or not, but I preached myself happy. Amen. He is so good. It is just so good to be in His presence and to know Him.